Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Cyberpunk Lorecast, where we brave scanning the net to find all the deep history and lore of cyberpunk.
I'm Toasty, a fixer that's new to Night City with a desire to jump into the details of this gritty setting.
And I'm Genesis, an old school media tech with a love of character deep dives.
Together, we will bring you the foundations of the past, the state of Night City today, and the news of the future.
We've got incoming. Let's Delta. Welcome back, Chooms, to another episode of the Cyberpunk Lorecast. I'm your girl, Genesis, and with me, as always, is Toasty.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. It's my favorite hello I get every week.
It's the only one I got.
Well, we also need to say hello to a few of our favorite people. Our patrons are here with us tonight because it is the end of the month. And at the end of the month, we have our tier 4 and higher patrons join in on the show to have a discussion all related to cyberpunk with us. So welcome back, Jay and Turbo. Unmute and say hello.
Hello.
Yeah, it's Turbo, no offense to Boggin.
No offense.
No offense.
Speaking of offense, I gotta see what the female V that looks like Toasty is.
Oh, fuck. Damn it.
Oh, you want Toasty?
I need to see.
Are we starting this? Okay,
that cracked me up.
Okay, so I did actually legitimately post it to Twitter earlier today. I posted the picture, the original screenshot of the mirror, looking in the mirror. I have not posted anything post-modding. Those have not been made public yet.
Can you send it to me on Discord?
That's a Toasty, if he wants those pictures shared.
That's fine. Toasty. Just share your screen. Just so we can show it. Show the screenshots right now. Okay. Why not?
Why not? I won't laugh. I will just judge.
You're going to laugh, Jay. You're going to laugh, okay? You aren't ready for the truth. Trust me. I know.
Toasty, while I'm pulling up the screenshots, why don't you introduce what tonight's topic is?
Oh, fuck. I don't do this. This isn't... This is a breakaway from the normal routine. We're going to talk Phantom Liberty shit.
Yes, we are going to be talking about what our new canon endings are. Since Phantom Liberty introduced a couple different pathways for us to go through, we are going to talk about how we have incorporated those into our favorite way to play this game. It's going to make some...
Jin does these things, and not me.
Oh my god. So you can really pull in Cyber City, in Night City.
I'm aware. Fair enough.
Yeah, Toasty, you can pull.
Yep, so I have modded the body to be voluptuous, to say the least. But also, this facial expression, dude, is so you that it's not even funny.
Wait, are the tattoos a mod also? Or is
the tattoos one of the options, are modded? Right? Yeah, the never fade away across the chest.
Actually, that's cool.
Oh my god, I did so good.
Wait, is that the same? I know it's a different hair color, but that's the same hairstyle that Rogue has, right?
No, it is not the Rogue hair. Oh, and then that's just
a different... Porsche. Okay, don't change that because, you know, I'm a sucker for cars.
Oh, this car, this is just a...
That's not even Johnny's. That's,
No, this is...
Was that modded?
No. It's a new car in the game. It's a hidden car with a mission attached to it.
Oh my god. Porsche 911.
Okay, alright. So... Now that you have seen the modded version of Toast V, I might post a few better pictures where you're not so undressed.
My titties aren't out?
Yeah. I'll at least put a jacket on you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. But I do plan on posting more screenshots from the Toast V playthrough and updating you guys along the way, because it's fun. Once I get to the end of the Toast V playthrough, I'm pretty sure I know what ending I'm going to go with. But I would like to know what you guys are going to do on your next playthrough, or what you now consider to be your canon ending. Turbo or Jay, either of you have a preference?
Oh, that's a long story. But, I got done with Phantom Liberty, and I'm like, you know what? I took a little break from thing, and then I'm like, I'm holding these guys up, so let's go. Just go do the new ending, like the ending, not Phantom Liberty ending, the ending. Went to that, and I have never been more sad.
Yeah,
I felt bad for my V. They lost everyone after the 2 years.
Yeah. I do want to know y'all's thoughts on that one. Like, what? Because I didn't like it.
Personally, I didn't like it. It's not my canon.
But so, Turbo.
Wait, the one where V just fades away into the crowd.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I had forgotten what my V looked like in third person because I haven't looked in the mirror at all for a long time. And I look, you see your V third person, and it's like, oh, that's what my person looks like. Oh, why did I make the decision to make him look like that? I forgot this was a gimmick character.
Well, that's not what you look like. Your all of your cyberware that you had on your face has been removed. Your head has been shaved. Your facial features look more gaunt. You're not wearing any makeup anymore. So that's not what your V looks like. It's a completely stripped down version of your V.
Well, I didn't realize there was no makeup on it, but my V had no hair eventually.
I think that's kind of it symbolizes something. It's V, they have pretty much been stripped of identity and purpose at that point, and
they're facing the crowd.
Exactly. Some would say that they have pretty much nothing left, but I like to think hopefully they got a job somewhere. Maybe they'll be, so technically Rogue could still be alive in that ending, right?
Mm-hmm. Rogue is alive.
Depending on,
did you get a call after?
Maybe they could be an assistant to Rogue. Maybe they could just fade out and become part of the Aldecados. Who knows?
That's part of the one thing with Rogue. I mean, I guess you could still work for her on the side, but you can't really do worthwhile jobs really one of the things she says is that like you can come around if you want, but the more you come around, the more your legend is going to die because people have been it because you disappeared so long, you became like a legend, like your name is in the afterlife. But like Rogue tells you, if you come around more, people are going to see that you're alive and that's going to die and you're going to be nobody. So, he kind of says, stay away if you want your legend to live.
Right, because is that part of when you have the different phone calls while you're looking out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
God, that was heartbreaking.
It was real rough.
I don't blame them. Everyone moved on, but it's like, literally, it's been a day for you, but everyone else has been 2 years. And it's like that time difference. It just hit me. I'm like, it's right in the feelings. But I didn't like how it made me feel and stuff because I have anxiety about that. Like, what happens to everyone moving on, but you staying the same? It's like,
Also, but, hard to go with the multicolors. Really sad. Pan Am doesn't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's different for, like, maybe if you romance Pan Am, because I romanced Judy, and then it's like, I lost Judy, lost my girlfriend, but I was happy for her that she found someone. Like, she didn't kill herself or anything like that, but she actually moved on and found someone. But I'm like, did anyone romance Pan Am and do this ending, or is it still the same, or is it different?
I don't know. I haven't tested it for sure. As far as I know, it is the same.
Yeah, so oh. I romanced both Pan Am and Carrie in that run, and Pan Am, it's the same thing, because when Toasty described how his phone call was, I experienced the same thing on my Mail V.
My river call, I want to actually know more about that, because I want to know where River ended up after that, because it's in my head, it sounds like he went not dirty cop, but he sold secrets, and then afterwards it's now like he does, like he's like in like a bad, not bad guy, but a bad cop, like not like right. An evil cop, but just a bend the rules a little bit to get the right thing done.
I think he did become a dirty family. Cop. That was the impression I got, was that he was the dirty cop now.
Yeah,
I think it was for ultimately like a good reason.
Yeah,
like, but he still resorted to it, I think, because he obviously hates who he is now. So
yeah. But I just didn't like where everyone ended up, because I know it's supposed to be like everyone changes like that, but that's what they're going for. But I don't think the only person I think changed for the good was maybe Judy, because she's the only one that got a happy ending that we know of.
Judy got out and she's happy, and Carrie seems to be pretty happy. And I can still hold hope in my heart that there's some form of reconciliation. Like, what if I go up there? Hopefully I still have some money, because I had a fuck ton of cash in the bank when I left.
I wonder if that changes if you don't do the good, like the good choice for him. Because you can, like, if you push him down the bad path, like where he like threatens the US cracks even more and doesn't like forgive them, or he's like, alone in the bar with like no one else, kind of that whole thing. Does he still get that same ending?
Well, okay, so here's the thing, and you can hate me for it later. On this playthrough, I did the shitty choices with Judy. To where she called me after her missions and said, fuck you, V, I never want to speak to you again, and then, like, deleted herself from my contacts. I could not contact Judy at all after completing her missions. I fucked up by taking the money from Maiko because it was a corpo option, and I didn't really realize what the repercussions would be. So Judy hated me, but I still got that phone call in the ending where it was like, V, I haven't spoken to you in years. How are you doing? I'm so happy now. Blah, 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 blah. Like, as if Judy and I had been but besties.
That's weird.
Was she married in yours?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know if that would change too. Okay.
I think she always is married. I guess maybe it is the same. Maybe they just gave like kind of a one story thing for each person.
What happens to what did you get to call Carrie? Because I didn't get the option to call Carrie. I got to call Judy, Pan Am, and Victor. That's the only people I got to call.
Oh. I thought you said you called River.
Oh yeah, thank you. Sorry, River. Yeah, River. I called River. I'm like, okay, because I didn't get to call anyone else. And at the ending, I looked it up online because I wanted to see some of the endings. Another person that ended up in the gutters and stuff was the guy that not Goro, the guy that helps him that you can leave dead in the hotel.
Oda.
Since I left him dead in the hotel, I didn't get a phone call. But he ends up in a bad place too.
Yeah.
Wait. Mm. So do we get to say goodbye to Johnny Silverhand during that ending or no?
Eh.
sort of. I mean, you get to say goodbye on the AV as you're like, flying out of Night City before they knock you out. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I felt like that wasn't enough. Because, like, I don't know, part of me was like, if only, like, he wouldn't be alone still in Night City if he had Johnny at least, but of course he doesn't have Johnny. Also, I was wondering, so what was the original reason V went to Atlanta, Georgia, before coming to back to Night City? Like, because that just gives me a thought, well, maybe he could go back to Atlanta. Maybe, even though he thinks there's nothing, sorry, V, they think there's nothing there for them. Perhaps V still could do something in Atlanta.
Is that the one for the Street Kid?
I think it's just Street Kid, yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Because
the Corpo, you're working Arasaka right before and stuff like that. So you can't work at Arasaka. You can't go back for the Corpo life because you need
Of course not. No.
And the Nomad.
And the Nomad.
Been you left the back.
Excommunicado for from the Corpos.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only one you could go back to is the Street Kid, because everyone else, you've been, you leave your Nomad family, or you know what, you breaks up and joins something, you leave the Corporal life. Technically, you could go back to Atlanta, or you can go to the, I guess, regular old Street Kid, but you're going to get the shit beat out of you without any mods if you go back to Street Kid life.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Yeah,
I don't think this new thing changed my favorite ending. This is not my canon ending.
No, this is not my canon ending either. But it's definitely it's an ending to experience. And I think now that I've done it once. Think. So, Jay, do you have an ending that you now consider your new canon?
No, that's the only ending I made it through, I think. I'm pretty sure. Okay, so I didn't finish the second playthrough, but I got to the point with my second playthrough when, you know, you're looking out over the pier with Johnny and still waiting to see what happens with Songbird. So I didn't finish a second time. I'm completely fine with hearing what actually happens in that ending because I've been too caught up to actually play the game right now. But as far as I'm concerned, the ending we just talked about, which I believe is King of Swords, right? I forget what it's called, but yeah, to me, that's not canon. That's just depressing. So
it's not canon. It's depression.
Or maybe it is canon then.
Yeah.
I know Jay Gray is just listening to this being like, that damn idiot.
Okay. And you said, wait, for yours, which path did you play through for your Phantom Liberty? The one that you did get to finish?
Siding with Reed. Pretty much, sort of siding with Reed. I mean, you know, giving Songbird up to Reed. That's the one I fully finished.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I figured, like, I didn't really expect it to go that sad or that bad. I mean, because the real thing was like, well, Songbird burned my V, like burned V, right? So what are they going to do? You know, they're not going to, I don't know how much heart V has left in them at that point to, you know, follow through Songbird. You know, Solomon Reed talks about clinics in Sweden or something. Maybe there's more hope there. Then also, you think that, you know, Solomon Reed has government resources, so perhaps they can actually fix stuff for good. Of course, that's not what happens, because Night City always wins. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think the talk with Misty at the end of it was perfect. I think that really was... I would have been... I'm not even really disappointed in that ending. You know, but I probably would have been if there wasn't that reconciliation with Misty, because that really kind of caught me off guard. So, yeah.
The Misty part of it made it a little bit more uplifting. And the only... So, I think the only one who would take this ending is the person who is playing it as, I want this character, I want V to live. And end of story, full stop, period there. And if that's the way that you're playing it, okay. This is the ending for you. But I want to do more than just live. I want to thrive. I want to be alive. So it's not the ending for me. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the ending for, you're right. This is the ending for people who want, like an answer to it, does V live or not at the ending? Because the other ones, doesn't it? The other one, Johnny, take over. One of them, you go to space. Don't you also? Well, you live in that one too.
Mm-hmm.
So that one also has it. But then the other one is, maybe, you go to Arizona, right? Is that where the avocados go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of those, like V, takes the body and like. It's still all like you don't have, you have like 6 months to live. Even going into space, you don't actually get cured, like for Arasaka. Really? Yeah, because the end of it is basically they like put you through all that shit. It's like losing your mind, and they tell you basically like, you can either go back down to Night City and you'll have 6 months to live, or we make you an Ingram.
Make you a what? Oh, an engram.
Yeah.
Wait, and that's after, options. And that's after all those tests and doing that damn Rubik's Cube and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because
that's why that's the two options, is you can either leave the station, go back to Night City, you're still going to die in 6 months, or when they put you on the table, that's them soul killing you.
God, I haven't played those soul endings killing. In so long. I totally forgot that.
That's the only ending. Although
the Johnny one, I remember. I remember when Johnny takes over the body very well. Probably because I enjoyed it. I thought, you know, him getting on the bus, him, you know, taking that kid to the guitar store. That was all very sweet.
You take him to the guitar store, but he doesn't tell any of your loved ones that you're fucking dead. The rat.
Yeah. Bastard. So... for me, Turbo, you talked about the one going to space, and I thought that you were talking about the one where... So my new canon that I'm fairly certain I am always going to travel on, except for the Toast V, because Toast V would never pick this path. I choose to storm... Or no, I will set the Songbird free and send her up on the rocket... and then choose to storm Arasaka Tower with Rogue. And that means I stay in Night City and hopefully have a chance to live. And what we now know is that V is on a mission for Mr. Blue Eyes, the same person that we send Somi to. Mm-hmm. So it's a possibility. I can still headcanon a little spark of hope that I get to go meet him and go see what's going on up there. If I have to headcanon hope into this game, I'm going to.
It's the only way you can get hope in this game.
I know. I think that's my new ending.
Okay.
All right, I just have one question. So when you send off Songbird on the rocket, do you ever hear from her again? Do you get any help at all or never?
You do get a message from an unknown number that claims that it is Songbird and she left you, or sorry, claims that it is Somi, and like she left you like a pin from like the moon, like over in her old apartment place, and you can go find it. There is like prevalent theories out there that that's actually Mr. Blue Eyes. And that he's already gotten rid of her, and he's just trying to make you think she's still around.
Wait, how do you know that she goes to Mr. Blue Eyes?
She tells you in the there's a spot whenever you're in the airport before you get to like the control tower, spaceport, where she has to like sit down and like take a breather, and you can ask about. Like who is helping her get on a space, like on a shuttle to the moon. And she'll tell you it was like this really nicely dressed guy, blue eyes.
Oh, right.
Describes Mr. Blue Eyes. And it's like, Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, big risk stuff.
Yeah. Toasty, what about you? What do you think you're gonna do moving forward?
Moving forward,
like your new canon.
My new canon is the old canon. It's nomad ending for life.
But still, also, you're never gonna keep Song bound and alive.
No, she's set the songbird free. Call up Pan Am. Let's go do this thing. I'd rather only live 6 months knowing that I stayed true to all my friends and they all stayed true to me, and actually getting to live and enjoy life for a bit, rather than knowing I betrayed all my friends or lost all my friends in exchange for my life. That just doesn't. And that's a real genuine Toasty opinion. I'd rather that in real life too.
Oh yeah, for sure. For me, it's like I decide to stay in Night City because the man that I love doesn't want to leave, you know, and I want to be with him.
Yeah, the woman I love wants to leave, so we come to an agreement there. So also, I know that they're not. It still always throws me off during that ending whenever Carol and Judy are talking to each other, because their voice actresses sound so similar. I used to think they were the same person, and I was like, wow, they really got this lady talking to herself. It's not the same person, but they sound really similar if you listen.
I have to do that.
You'll get to hear it in the Toast view run.
Oh, it's true. That is very, very true. All right. I think this is a good spot for us to take a quick, short little mid-break, and then when we come back, we can just kind of continue this discussion. We started out the show talking about ones that we are never going to do again, so I don't know how we're going to flip this topic on its head. Welcome to the middle of the show, where we talk about the show and not the lore of Cyberpunk. We don't have any new reviews to read out this week, and we don't have any new patrons to shout out this week. I'm afraid of being set on fire, so I am going to end this middle of the show right quick.
Damn, already?
Got nothing else to say. All right, let's get back into it. Okay, so we've talked about the endings that we want to do. And that we're going to do moving forward. I don't really know what else. What else is there left to talk about with the new endings?
Now with the new ending, do we think they're going to make it the canon ending and for Cyberpunk 2 and just start with a whole new character? Because your V can't do mods anymore now, so they have a way out. And everyone, because like your V lived, and they could appear in the next game then.
Yeah, that's
Think V's.
And would you even recognize them though? They could just that would be cool. Having they ask fans, hey, send us in your I don't know if they can collect your V data. I don't know that terms and services. I don't know that. But once the background characters for Cyberpunk 2 are all our V's.
Well, I just kind of got an idea. Well, in one of the V can be turned into an engram, right? In one of the endings.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd say perhaps let that be canon. Start out with a new character. And also I feel like most people are sort of done with Night City, right? So Cyberpunk 2, Night City can be a part of it maybe, but I think it has to go to a different country to some extent, or at least have a different city. For Cyberpunk 2. But I say let V come in as an engram character, like someone giving them advice, or you know, maybe you know, being a hacker for them or an assistant at some points. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
I don't know. So the the current lore of Cyberpunk was up at 2045, the time of the Red in the TTRPG. The video game bumped that up another 30 years in the future. Now, each time that the TTRPG has come out with a new set, they've always moved the timeline a significant amount forward. We started in 2012, then we moved to 2020, then we moved to 2045, now we're in 2077. I'm thinking that the next game is gonna have to bump it up in the future, especially since we know that in 2079, Arasaka is leaving. They are pulling out of Night City.
I thought they were already out.
Wait, how do you guys know that?
They talked on the radio when you're in Delamain.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For the
new ending. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Sorry, we're allowed to swear, right?
Fuck yes.
It's been a while.
It's cyberpunk.
God.
If I had to, we aren't allowed censor. To swear,
someone let me know. Oh no.
If I had to bleep Toasty, they'd have to pay me extra.
But Jen, back to what you were saying though, different years. So what do you predict about the year that we could be coming back to Night City? What year?
I think that they're going to push it in the future at least 10 years. And by then, the entire landscape of Night City is going to be changed.
2099, baby.
Yeah. No,
I don't think it can be 2099 because there's the video game Vigilancer 2099 coming out, which is like a Blade Runner style cyberpunk video game where you're kind of a bounty hunter. And I don't think they'd want to have the same year as that. So I'm thinking at least 2100.
I mean, you say that, but 2077 is also the year the bombs dropped in Fallout. So, like,
yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But those are different genres.
RPG.
2077 is still a very popular year in, like, because I can't remember. I think there's a couple other video games where significant things happen. 2077. But
You got to go about how it sounds. And 2099 sounds, the double number sounds good.
It does. It really does.
I mean, because it can't be 2088 doesn't sound like it's not, not it, at you know? All. It's not it.
No.
2099. Yeah.
Unless they,
well, what if they do another
2100s? I mean,
that would sound good. 2100.
2112.
Well, what if they release
2101? I like how that sounds. 2101.
2101. That's kind of cool. Yeah. Or what if they actually don't give us a year? What if it's a different name, like just Cyberpunk something else, like Cyberpunk?
Just don't call it Cyberpunk 2.
No, sound like
a naming convention could work. But as for your point of like getting out of Night City, Night City is the number one character of all Cyberpunk like it is the main central character. I don't think so. They could revamp
it, right?
It had to be a lot of years then if they want to revamp.
Yeah, that would be the thing, is like a significant number of years. There's such a good point, but I would want to see like somewhere else, honestly. Like, I think it'd be cool to see. I mean, this is probably a huge ass that'll, like, I mean, fucking way out of it. Like, imagine getting like Neo Tokyo in the year 2077 as well.
That's exactly what I was thinking, man. Tokyo. I mean, I bet they could do, keep Dogtown, keep Night City, just give us some other expansion, right? Or
Badlands.
Oh no, wait. Actually, do you think they would keep Dogtown in Night City 2? Sorry, Cyberpunk 2.
Yeah. Well,
it depends on who's, like, if they kept a good hold on it. Like, if, like, Kurt dies regardless. So, like, if can Bennett hold it, or Yago, like, or just do they, like, lose power and, like, Night City creeps in to take it for itself? Like, I don't know.
Well, you know what's interesting? It's like Voodoo Boys. They said, like, Voodoo Boys run Pacifica, right? All of the gameplay that we experienced, it didn't feel like they ran Pacifica at all. I mean, it sort of did for just one quest, but like they, aside from that one quest, it didn't really feel like you had like a serious you were dealing with a serious, you know, group of people.
I mean, I kind of see, like, I have like a new perspective on the Voodoo Boys of like them not really being that serious of a group anyways, because
so they wouldn't want to take over Dogtown.
Well, I mean, they may want to, like, the problem is that the Voodoo Boys constantly kill themselves by fucking with the Black Wall.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, they're angling with the Black Wall, and they just keep dying in the process. I mean, you can wipe out damn near the whole branch of the Pacifica Voodoo Boys if you, like, you know, take the Netwatch guys deal, and it fries all of them. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, Arisaka left Night City, right? Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't they want to take over Dogtown? I mean, have a corpo. I mean, there's a conversation with Padre. I don't know how I triggered it. It was in my first playthrough, but I remember him alluding to a corporate war is starting to happen at some point. And I feel like, you know, if a corporation had control of an entire territory in Night City, that could really spark something crazy.
Yeah. So. And I mean, I think that there's a couple different notes and things that lead to that little breadcrumb trails of a fifth corporate war. And if Arisaka does actually pull out, then that's going to leave a huge vacuum, and all of the other corporations are going to be vying for that power that Arisaka leaves, because Arisaka really does control Night City. And I think that could also, it's a little bit more politically intrigued than what I put with Cyberpunk in my head. But to have a fifth corporate war be the basis for the next game is a possibility.
That'd be cool.
And I just thought of something. This probably be a really big stretch, but like, say what Jen says, like, and stuff. We could have a corporate war that ends up like maybe halfway through the game. You can actually go to Neo Tokyo, like take the fight to Arisaka.
Yeah.
That's why they never fully die, is because Arisaka does control like all of Japan and like a chunk of just Asia in general. Like, they have a strong foundation that they can fall back on and just show up whenever like they're called for again, which is exactly what happened with the
Do they have like a bat signal?
Coronado what the fuck Bay? Was the damn I'm trying to think of the war, the unification war.
Well, so I have another question. If they take us to another country, territory, whatever, do you think they would make that part open world, or would it be closer to the new like Star Wars Jedi game where, you know, it's sort of closed off and you can only...
I think you could run a whole game through, like you can have an quote open world like setting that's just like a city. Like, I'm sure, like if we did do something like Neo Tokyo, like that's a massive place. Like, so yeah. You have plenty of like place to play around without ever having to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to go to like Pacific Islands like that, like maybe like Hawaii and like the Philippines, like do all like a island hopping.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm in the mood for that right now.
Yeah.
Well, my thought is because we're talking about arc endings. The thing is which one is the game's canon ending? Because yes, in a chunk of them, Arisaka's on the back foot and has to like head out. Not in all of them. Mm-hmm. Any of the ones where Arisaka gets the relic back, Saburo Arisaka comes back, taking over his son's body. And like, as long as he's in charge, like, I don't think that they pull out of Night City. I think they're set.
Unless they do, no matter what. Like, that was part of Saburo's plan was, okay, now that I've been able to reestablish myself in a younger body, I'm going to live on. I'm going to pull back to Tokyo.
Honestly, it would be great to see something, like, devastating happen. Like something, because this whole journey of V was so personal, and it only revolved really around them. We didn't, you know, experience much that happened on a universal scale. So, you know, I mean, even the whole Saburo and the whole Saburo Arisaka saga, like even that didn't seem to really come crashing down on the Night City population. Like, so if something like truly like devastating happens, you know, our new protagonist has to flee the country, you know, to start a new life or try and repair a bunch of shit. Like, I feel like that would be a lot more cool, because then it would kind of be cyberpunk and apocalyptic at the same time. And I don't know. I just don't know how much more they could do with just the cyberpunk genre without ripping off other like authors and TV shows and movies.
I don't know. And then again, we could be completely wrong. And maybe they're only going to set this story 6 months in the future and we get to find out what happens to V. But I don't think so.
I think V's tale is done. I think we're going to get a new character.
Yeah,
I think so too. But that won't be for a while anyway. So.
Oh, no. I'll 2040, something like that, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Wait, what is CDPR working on right now?
Witcher 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it going to reboot the series or just be something else?
Be
a continuation, I mean.
I'm assuming it's a, quote, like, story that takes place after The Witcher 3. But likely does not involve Geralt. Like, Geralt's story is probably over. My theories is that it is going to be like the first Witcher game where you get to like make your own Witcher. So there's a lot of stuff out there of like fan content and whatnot that like gives us hints to where, like, because all we have really is like the screen, the little like reveal picture of like the Lynx medallion. That's pretty much all we have to go on still at this point.
Also, Cyberpunk just released an update, right? Like,
new patch came out today. 2.11.
Yeah, it's downloading right now for me. I assume they're going to give this game support for at least another 2 or 3 years.
Support, like basic support, but like, I mean, this, I think as far as like additions, I think they've already moved most of the team off of 2077.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, so I think like, bug fixes here and there, sure, but I think anything major is like done for. One, like, we looked at the patch notes on this, just a bunch of like minor bug fixes, really. There was nothing significant to it at all. No,
that's exactly it.
You get to paint your cars. There's one car you get to change the color of now, to whatever which you want one? To. The fire something? I don't remember exactly which one it was, but it is.
If they add being able to like, you know, make it like a do transmogy cars, that'd be cool.
Yeah. It's adding a crystal coat to one of the cars that you get, and then you get to pick whatever color you want it to. And then you can change it multiple times.
I'm sorry, but like just one car, that's, I don't know. Like, it's cool, but still.
If they can do it to one and put it out there and see how it works, then I'm pretty sure that they will add it to more cars in the future.
Okay, well, that's good. Do you guys foresee that Cyberpunk is going to, you know, little fan base for a while, and that people are going to continue to play this game regularly? Or do you think, you know, online SaaS is going to just kind of die out slowly?
I think given a little bit, I think the majority of like the following is going to like trickle out, because I think a lot of the stuff came from Phantom Liberty and it's like recentness. But now that like that's done, people have gotten a chance to play it. They've kind of dropped all like the last of the big updates they're going to do. Like, I think people will like generally enjoy it, but it's not a game that's going to keep people in the, like, talking about it for, you know, ages. It's just,
it'll keep you and I talking about it for ages, though.
I mean, true, but you know,
they talk it'll about be any other
mostly the tabletop that's going to keep it going. People talking about it and then it coming back up.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Jen, I had another question. Do you think they might release another TTPRG or TTRPG before the next Cyberpunk video game?
Ooh. I don't think so. Because when did Red come out?
The summer after... Or no, the summer before 2077, I believe.
Mm.
I think... Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting... I can't remember if they released it... I don't think they've released it yet, but they do have a thing like... in the works of like how to play Red, like the Red system, but in the 2077 year.
Okay.
They do have a thing. I think Jay talked about that like the last time we had it on, basically like giving you like the lore and stuff for the year 2077, additional like changes in like cyberware and stuff like that you can have to basically make it 2077, but it's still the general Red system.
Yeah. I mean, as for like a whole new system update, like a whole new edition, I don't know. Because Red seems to play pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, if they can release more, if they have like inspirations, I mean, I'm sure we'll see something, but I just don't know what that would be.
Another thought I had is in Cyberpunk 2, there are characters such as Morgan Blackhand that could be used in the plot. There's a lot of potential for what could happen in Cyberpunk 2.
That's true. Yeah, we still have potential for Morgan Blackhand since we didn't get him in Phantom Liberty.
I don't want to talk about Morgan.
Why?
Ah, come on.
Is it because you were so staunchly like...
Yes.
Behind... That's the funny thing. I really did not think... that Solomon Reed was going to be Morgan Blackhand.
You know what? There were a lot of signs and a lot of things that made that such a valid point and argument that I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
I mean, look, he disappeared after working for NUSA, specifically President Rosalind Myers. And then Solomon shows up, specifically working for President Rosalind Myers. It was like the evidence was there. But they were just like, nah, he's just a random guy. Yeah, probably.
They wanted the hype for Morgan.
That's probably exactly what they did. They were like, we can make this look so much like Morgan Blackhand, and then it's just not. It's just this guy.
Yeah.
Wait, here's another idea. What if Cyberpunk 2 doesn't take place after 2077? What if it's a prequel before, and it's Na'vi, it's different characters? Already been done through the tabletops.
It's possible, but like, I just don't think that like, I don't think the idea of like doing prequel stuff and like is like, I just don't think that that's where people their mind care. Is going because they, well, like they can, I think they would care. I just think it's easier to build a story in a time setting after based on lore that you've already put. Like, because if you put all the 2077 lore in the game with 2077 and then you hop a prequel, you basically can't use anything you did in your previous game for the new one. And you kind of have to, like, go from scratch. And that's, like, difficult to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're completely right. Yeah.
And then your whatever you decide in a prequel doesn't really affect the game that's already been produced and played. Like, nothing I do in that game is going to affect my storyline in 2077.
They also have to, like, work, like, really in-depth with Artel Saurian to make sure that the shit lines up. So if they have any original ideas, like, they can't really use them because of the stuff that Artel Saurian has established in the tabletops. Because they did, specifically when making 2077, like, reference a lot of the stuff, and they had to balance the ideas that Artel Saurian was doing with Cyberpunk Red and make sure that those still lined up in the 2077 concept. So, like, obviously there's a deal in place between those two companies to make sure that, like, neither one of them fucks the lore.
Yep. Which is also why the new Witcher TTRPG has been delayed. So.
Mm-hmm.
Before we start tangenting on Witcher things, I think this might be a good spot for us to wrap up the show for the night. What do you guys think? Final thoughts on the new endings that Phantom Liberty has given us.
Do you sadness. Think you
want- sadness. Oh.
Depression.
I mean, technically, they really only give us one new ending, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Could be worse, but still a fantastic expansion, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it more than the base game, I think, to be honest.
Oh, I fully agree. Yeah. Like, even just in the sense of, like, sorry, I know we were going to wrap up, but, I mean, it's still
fantastic. This is wrap up. The shocked face was, what? Toasty and Jay actually agree on something?
It'd be different if Captain Logan was here. No, just because, I mean, the amount of, like, attention to detail and everything they put into even the gigs. I mean, all of the gigs in this, like, take out the whole main story. The gigs were still better than any of the ones in the main game.
Totally.
Like, all of them were, like, super, like, well-crafted stories, you know, on the side quests and stuff,
too. I mean, I can't believe how many endings there were to that one side quest when you help out those two... crap, the part of the militia, the guy and the gal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there were, like, at least two or three endings to that one.
It's three,
and,
yeah.
And you get to play as Kurt Hansen. Like, that was great.
Yeah, so a lot of even the smaller stories are always, and you know, that is part of like the great thing about CDPR is that they do handcraft all of their like quests. So it is nice to get that, but they really like put 110% into this expansion. So,
all right, Turbo, anything other than sadness that you want to add to the wrap up?
It was good. It was good, and I loved what it added and stuff. I'm just going to agree with everyone, but just sadness.
No offense.
No.
Yeah, no offense. I just feel sadness.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I think I'm on the same boat for sure. Sadness and pain. But also, it adds a little bit of hope, especially for my endings. There's a little bit of hope. So
fly away, songbird, fly away.
Yes, the songbird gets to fly, and I will follow her to the moon.
Or to same. The I mean, powers. There's two baddies up on the moon now, baby. We got Lucy. We got Songbird. Fuck, moon sounded like a real nice place now.
Oh, no, and then
don't bring up edge runners.
You just wish Judy was there, though.
There's
I'll take Judy with me. I don't give a fuck, bro.
I mean, technically, Yen's ashes are going to be up there, so that's technically three.
Who's Yen?
Yennefer of Vengeberg.
From Witcher. There's a little Easter egg talking about, supposed to be instructions for Geralt to take, or not Geralt, I guess, Ciri to take Yennefer's ashes to the moon.
Yep.
Because they do, like, kind of... They do play with that, like, because part of the Witcher's, like, story is, like, that there's multiple spheres, and Ciri can, if she's the Lady of Space and Time, she can travel between the spheres, and in The Witcher 3, she talks about a place, like, a city with, like, or a world with giant buildings and flying vehicles and stuff like that, and it's, like, heavily believed that it is Night City that she went to, and so then there's the, like, in... The Phantom Liberty expansion at the airport, there is a letter talking about, like, it's from Yennefer telling to take her ashes to the moon. So it's like,
oh, I love that.
They do, like, to do little Easter eggs like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And on that note, come give us a follow on Twitter so that way you can see the stock Toast V up there right now. And then also, if you want to hear more from me, you can hear me on the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, where we analyze, rate, and review all that the world of video game romances has to offer.
This is weird, because I think we're doing it out of order, because we normally ask Turbo and Jay first, and ourselves.
That's right. But I can tell you right now, Turbo's going to say, nope, don't got anything going on.
Nope, true. No, guys.
What about you, Jay?
You can find my art and writing and shit on Instagram at LIVINGANEPIC, living an epic. So, yeah.
All right. Yes. You know what? I might even be able to link your Insta in the show notes for today. So go give them a follow. And then Toasty, what do you got going on?
Well, I don't know if you noticed, based on all of the fucking Witcher shit I mentioned in this episode today, but I do the Witcher Lorecast. And also, we talked a lot about the tabletop today. I also do the Cyberpunk Red Live Play podcast, Cyberpunk apostrophe D. All of my podcasts were like kind of brought together in one episode today. It was crazy.
Aw, yay. It all. Happy little conglomerate. All right, and at the end of every episode, we shout out Miracle of Sound and thank him for allowing his music to be used. Thank you, Gav. You are amazing. We use snips and clips from Neon Red, the instrumental remix. And while you're out there,
stay safe in Night City.
Ever wanted to be a content creator but had no clue where to begin? Come join me as I sit down with content creators that have already faced the challenges you're up against, as they discuss the tips and tricks that help them be successful. Here on The Content Creator's Guide, available wherever podcasts can be found.